Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Clark, appreciate you for joining us. A.J. Swan out this past weekend with an injury. So what's the plan moving forward at the quarterback position?
Well, AJ was available for the game. He wasn't able to complete the week of practice. And right now we feel like there's got to be a level of training that's going on offense where we're building chemistry and really, preparing to play together on Saturday. And so, we're just monitoring his health day to day and ultimately, feel like we have two guys that we can lean on. And I thought Ken responded really well to the task of running the offense on Saturday. Wasn't perfect, but we can draw from that performance. We'll see how AJ bounces back and how he's able to practice this week and kind of make those decisions as the game nears. I mean, they're both preparing to start, and we're gonna give it some time to see how it all works out.
Clark Lee is with us, and we've been saying, for at least being in a fortunate position that not a lot of schools have, especially in the SEC, is having two starting caliber quarterbacks on the roster. But on the road this weekend at Florida, and the Swamp is obviously a very notorious place to play, tough place to play. What are you doing this week to get your guys ready for an environment like the Swamp?
Yeah, we have noise at practice, and obviously we'll have mechanisms in place that'll allow us to navigate, if we're not able to communicate verbally, but certainly something that we're going to prepare for. Obviously, we have to also focus on just our performance and the things that we don't want to change so dramatically that we're not, building on the positives that we've seen in the last couple weeks. And yet we know that it's going to be a factor and we're going to need to be ready. So when you have a connected team and a team that's playing with chemistry, the noise, we seem to handle the noise a little bit better. That's going to be our primary focus, just building into that chemistry this week. And obviously we're going to interject some of those, noise elements as we look to function on offense and in the punt game as the week goes on.
Now, Coach, you guys went out there and, the first quarter of that Missouri game, it was a back and forth. It seemed like not many points scored. Even in the second quarter, it wasn't until sort of like the end of the second and the third quarter where Missouri opened it up. And it, a lot of it, we can say it was some of what you guys were doing that were giving them an opportunity to get up. But there were a lot of missed tackles. And I know I can sit here and say, Coach, these guys, what are you doing in practice to alleviate the missed tackles? But is that more so just a fundamental thing, or is it a paying attention to detail thing in regards to tackling?
Well, there's four. Sorry, man. This, how a coach is. You don't forget those things. There are four that stand out to me as fundamental technical issues. Brian Longwell had a couple where in the flat, he's got a, when you're pursuing the ball inside out on the line, you're always in a vice, even if you're in a vice with the sideline. And so there comes a point where the ball is squared up to the field where you have to also square up and start taking two types of spaces, right? Not just lateral space, but actually climbing vertically to the intersect point, if that makes sense. Otherwise what happens is the ball steps inside you. That's just exposure and learning. Obviously we train those things and we drill them. But they have to show up for us to count in the game. There were two there. John House had a really tough one right before the half where he had a spatial tackle, but he was in great position. He's got to run his feet. We have to stop leaving our feet as we're going like below the knee to tackle, because the skill we're playing against is too good to do that. If you can take the engine away by putting your shoulder through the thigh and running your feet and wrapping the legs, then I think you got to down the ball there. We didn't do that, and he kind of like got into an awkward position where he tried to hip toss the guy, and he lost the tackle. And then the fourth was on Langston Patterson. It was another example of, when the ball squares up, I've got to get off a horizontal line and start climbing vertically inside out. But he was in a bad position because he like to your point, it's a detail thing. The back motioned out. That was his man. He was late seeing it. So he was chasing the play down. And I feel like a lot of the space, you know, that we ran into on Saturday, was a product of us not executing and not being on the same page defensively. So, sometimes you don't know from the sideline just because it feels like they're finding all the windows, and they certainly did a good job, but there was so much within our control there that we didn't capture because, you know, we had guys that weren't in the right call. The call wasn't communicated the right way on the field. And I don't see that as a player issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's an organizational issue where, you know, how are we teaching? How are we learning? And how well are we addressing those things so that we're in position. Alignment and assignment are things that we do, and that way, you know, you're taking away unnecessary space. So I think there were a number of factors into you know how we kind of bled out yards. That middle stretch of the game to me that you're alluding to, where they were able to separate, it was also a perfect storm of, you know, I think we really hit a lull and had four straight possessions that were punts. I think there was a total of 14 plays in that stretch. And then the fifth possession was the interception in the end zone. And so it was, I think it was a tough point in the game to fall out of sync. Mm-hmm. So not only were we, you know, not executing at the level that we wanted to defensively, we also were playing more snaps than we'd like to. And again, that's not a formula for us to win a game.
Now, every coach wants to be a balanced team unless, you know, you're unbalanced and you're winning, whether it be passing or throwing. We saw Kentucky rush for almost 300 yards, and they only threw the ball a few times and they ended up winning the game. How do you become more of a balanced team? Because you're doing well through the air. Ken Seals came in and did a pretty good job, but it's where you're suffering is the run game. You're not able to mirror the run game with what you're doing from a passing standpoint.
Yeah, that's the challenge, right? I think Missouri was a good front. We struggled against them a year ago to establish a run, and we were a pretty good, you know, top end rushing team. And so I think their challenges they present playing man free and loading the box up, but there were also some runs there, you know, I felt like we were not synced up in the offensive line early on. I think there were a couple of times on Saturday where, you know, they were able to win one-on-ones and get into the backfield. But on the whole, I felt that unit played better. I think some of it has to do with pressing the ball at the running back position and vision for the cut, you know, and creating the run based off what's available. I did think we found some room on the perimeter in the jet sweep game. And, you know, the other answer to that, Derek, is, you know, we using rhythm and timing passing game to get us on schedule, you know, that those things can become like runs for us if that's the way we need to move the ball. The biggest thing to me is we can't go first and 10, second and nine, mm-hmm. you know, third and nine. You know, that's not a recipe for us to maintain possession. And this is still about point limitation for us. So we have to be able to control the game through possessing the ball, and that means playing better on third down, which means you have to have a good first and second down approach. And we have to take the approach that, you know, if we can't generate the run, then we need to find ways to do this by getting the ball in the air.
Talking to Clark Lee, head football coach for Vanderbilt. And so, Clark, one of the things that is going on, you got a lot of young guys that are playing. One guy that I'd love to hear you discuss a little more is Cedric Alexander, true freshman in the running back position. As Derek mentioned, the ground game is a little work in progress right now, but I really was impressed with him as a pass catcher last week.
He was really good as a pass catcher, and, you know, I think things that get me excited, you know, he was exceptional blocking on the perimeter, and, you know, he led on a jet sweep that kind of set the tone for our first scoring drive. Quincy Skinner had a crack block, and said he led up on the DB and really threw a nice block to create space for us to get a first down. And then there was a three play sequence later where we ran the ball, then hit Will on a shallow cross. And again, Seti, who was running a route out of the backfield, leads up on the corner and gets Will some catch and run space. Really impressive, savvy for a freshman to do that. The next snap was the touchdown pass to Junior Sherrill. So he's doing the little things, and small things done well has been a mantra of our program this season. I mean, I think, you know, the runs will be there. You know, as we get synced up, we continue to coach through some of the struggles there. This is a kid that's building a complete game and really doing some nice things, as you mentioned, as a pass catcher too. And that bodes well, you know, for his place in our offense and also his career. I mean, I think he's on his way to having a really nice career, and it's been fun to have him out there and to see all the recruiting, you know, visions come into fruition.
I noticed you got some young corners that are playing. Some guys are banged up, and it seems like you're in a dilemma of, do we play way off and try to come up and tackle and try to force a mistake along the way, or do we pressure a little bit and risk getting beat deep? And a little bit of both has happened. There were some key plays where if you get a big stop on the third down, maybe you stay right in there and have a chance. How do you try to work with those guys? Because I would imagine confidence is a big part of the equation here too, to try to keep them up, even though you face some really good receivers here.
Yeah, you know, we had they had four touchdown passes in the game. One of those came on a 2nd and 20 explosive where they got behind us. And ultimately, you know, we have to find a way to get we were in a split safety defense. There was only two routes on the play. You know, we have to find a way to get somebody freed up to close the middle of the field. We weren't able to do it on that snap. The rest of the touchdown passes came on third down, third downs in the red zone. So, I bring that up just to say, you know, for us to build to the stop, two of those were thrown on a safety in coverage, and to me, you know, though when you're growing corners up on the field in the SEC, obviously those guys are literally on an island out there, and there's going to be tough moments, but I think there's some positives to build on as well, and so. Again, for us, you know, you mentioned, you know, playing off and giving space versus pressuring and pressing and the ball getting over top of us. There is a balance there where you're playing off and you're playing with great vision and you're taking time and space on the throw. We can't, when we're off, chase the ball to the flat. You know, we have to be able to react to the throw before the ball's thrown, and then within that, you know, we have to be able to cap the double move with our body so that we're driving the route and the receiver's got to run through us if he's running a double move. And then when we are pressed, you know, the pressures have to get home, but there's fundamental technical aspects that we got to sharpen up to play with the confidence that you speak of. And so we try to just train those guys to have short memories, to be positive and encouraging. And I think there's been improvement. I mean, we're playing against better people. We've seen less interference calls. Now, you know, some of that is, you know, we need to be in positions to contest throws down the field, but also think that they're getting more comfortable playing the ball late. And I thought Trudell Berry made on the first field goal they kicked, he made a nice stop on third down on a one-on-one fade and zero coverage. And so, There are signs there. We're growing young players up in the program. We have to be patient with them. We have to encourage them. And we have to continue to coach and teach them, because, unfortunately, it doesn't get easier. I mean, we're going to continue to have a really good skill that we're playing against, and we have to support those guys the best we can during the week, and then on Saturday calling them into success too.
Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach. Clark, appreciate your time. Safe travels to Gainesville this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
All right. Thanks, Clark. Appreciate it. Willie, how much do you as a Vanderbilt fan think about how Vanderbilt was able to beat this Florida team last year? I know it's a year-to-year, week-to-week kind of league, but obviously there's no gimmies on any SEC schedule.
Yeah. I mean, those were great wins. Yeah. But it's interesting. You know, you couple the Vanderbilt win over Florida and then Kentucky. And you know, I've talked to a lot. I've been to all the games so far. I've been talking to a lot of Vanderbilt fans about where they are right now. They clearly, you know, they'd love to have another win or two there. There's disappointment with where they are, right? It's almost like those two wins put them ahead of schedule, and I see them playing a lot of young players. We were just talking about the corners.
Mm-hmm.
We got a freshman, sophomore, and they're getting torched, right? They're having struggles, right, containing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their most talented players are freshmen, sophomores, and they're having growing pains, right? They have trouble staying healthy. They're having ups and downs. I feel like if they can get through the fire, and I see those guys as juniors and seniors, I see a very good team. Like, I can remember Zach Stacy as a freshman under Bobby Johnson. You know, and they had Wesley Tate as well, another local kid. Had all kinds of trouble as freshman sophomore, struggled big time. Lo and behold, a couple years later, James Franklin comes in. Those guys are juniors and seniors, and they were equipped to start winning. Jordan Matthews kind of the same way. So Clark Lee didn't have that nucleus of older guys that he came in with. So it's almost like maybe in retrospect, that was a little bit of a tease winning those two games last year for where they are as a whole. They just got to get more experience. They got to get more layers of talent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappointing, but you know, they've got. I'm curious to see how they grow with a lot of these young guys. Swan is a great example. As a sophomore, I mean, he's been very up and down. It's almost as like I heard Clark Lee almost say, "Okay, he could have played, but let's stop the train for a second. Let's gather ourselves. Let's take a little time, take a breath, and then maybe when we see him again, he'll be better equipped to take a step forward." But there's no more great example than your success or failure than quarterback in this league, right? You got to have your quarterback playing well.
And success is not linear in this league. You're not guaranteed anything. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So postseason baseball starts tonight, and I have a postseason baseball thought, and we will get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.